There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you so much for tuning to the podcast. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh. And we are with you here in the book of Hebrews. We'll be back in chapter 13 on this Friday edition of the podcast. I'd like to welcome each and every one of our listeners and looking forward to the wedding tomorrow and to get a chance to preach in the wedding. Dear pastor, friend of mine, Pastor David Vernon, and my own pastor, Brother Richard Black Jr., will also be preaching, and he'll be performing the ceremony of his daughter. And then Pastor Asquith has been an often guest on this podcast, and the two young people getting married. One is Pastor Asquith's son, one is Pastor Black's daughter. They have both given their testimonies on the podcast. If you want to scroll back and look for Timothy Asquith testimony, Megan Black testimony, and God has put them together, and we thank God some saved young people are getting married. What a joy that brings to my heart, and we certainly rejoice in the goodness of the Lord that God would even consider to put people together, let alone young people been saved, sanctified themselves unto Jesus Christ, separated themselves unto holiness, and how we thank the Lord for that. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to be a part of that ceremony, and we're looking forward to that tomorrow. That'll be on Saturday, and then Monday we'll be back here on a new day for the podcast. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do. I know I cannot get through chapter 13 today, I'm pretty sure. And so we'll have just maybe Monday, possibly Tuesday, in the book of Hebrews. And then we're going to have to look for something else for the podcast. So you pray for us. Pray God would give us wisdom. And thank you for tuning in. Chapter 13, let brotherly love continue. I did, when as soon as I read that, me and my sarcastic mind, I immediately think, well, it has to start first. And I understand I'm not degrading at all what the Apostle Paul said here. I'm certainly not questioning what the Lord has put in there. I'm just saying there's a lot of brothers that claim the name of Christ. They don't have brotherly love. So I thought, well, let's just define what brotherly love is. And John told us what brotherly love is. And he said, in this, the children of God are manifest. 1 John 3:10. And he said, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. That's what the Word of God tells us. And so if you don't love your brother, you don't know God. It's pretty basic. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, who's your brother? Well, the Word of God tells us who our brother is. If you're in the house of God, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you're in the assembly of the righteous, the assembly of the firstborn, and you come together and you minister to the needs of people and interact with people, those are the brethren. And if you do not love them, that's a supernatural love. You can't drum that up. You can't fake that. I remember a dear lady under our ministry quite a few years ago was gloriously converted, and she said that one thing that God showed her is she had no idea how to love. She thought she did, but what she thought was love was just those temporal things that men assimilate as love. They put up the affairs of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the wickedness of the flesh even. They call that love, but then when she got saved, she realized she had the love of God. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That has always been God's message. We consider our neighbor before ourselves, our brother before ourselves, not as Cain. Cain didn't consider his brother. All he considered about is that God despised his offering, who was of that wicked one, that's his problem, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, the children of God cannot hate. We know that. No man that hateth his brother has eternal life. We understand that. But one of the things I have to look at dealing with folks in ministry today, there's a lot of folks that don't hate, but what they do is they have envy in their hearts. They look at those things, the gifts of a man, the ways of a man, the ministry, the things that a man has, and they get that old vile, ugly monster in their heart called envy. Why? Because their own works are evil and their brother's righteous. And if you're looking for financial profit, If you're looking for financial gain in ministry and you see a man seemingly gaining or profiting, that old wicked monster can raise up in your heart. It's an awful thing. I mean, it's an ugly thing. It's a vile thing. And yet there's so many have that raise up in their heart. It rears up. It destroys them. It wounds them. It hurts them. They cannot see that for anything. Why? Because they've been blinded. Their eyes are absolutely blinded to it. And Cain was blinded, his works were evil, his brothers righteous. And he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So how do you know you're saved by the grace of God? Because you love the brethren. That's what he told you. And because you love the brethren, these things are manifest in you and through you and to you. And by the way, that doesn't come until you get salvation. And that's why folks scoff at this and are skeptical of this, because they may not have Christ. Word of God said in Philemon 9, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so he's making beseeching on the behalf of Onesimus. Why? Because he's passed from death unto life. He loves the brethren. And now he's coming and ministering to Paul's needs, and Paul's recommending him because he ministered to him. That's the evidence, is that love of God. We know this. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so we understand that is the one sin. A lot of folks say, you know, well, if you do this, you're not saved. If you do this, you're not saved. If you do this, you're not saved. You know what the Word of God said? He said, if you hate your brother, he said, you're a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, that's a pretty hard statement for a lot of folks to understand. That's a pretty hard statement for a lot of folks to grasp. They say, well, I've been a good person my whole life. I've done good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. I've always been a just man or a righteous man. I've always done good unto others. But the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And we know, this is commonly reported, this is a fact from the Word of God, we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's what the Word of God says. And so you have to examine those. If you have hatred in your heart, you don't love. If you can't forgive, you don't love. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And then he said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then he gives a good litmus test. And this is a wonderful litmus test. I've always been thankful for this. I've had to examine this in my own life, my own heart many times. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So now we say let brotherly love continue. It gives us a lot more clarity on brotherly love. It gives us pretty clear understanding of brotherly love, because you love your brother. You'll go overboard for your brother. You'll do what your brother needs. You'll see that brother have need. You'll open up those bowels of compassion. You will be like that Samaritan who took the wounds and poured in the oil and then bound him up and left money to pay for his care and offered to finish paying for his care when it's all said and done. That is brotherly love. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What does the word entertain mean? Does it mean you take them to a movie and buy them popcorn? Well, if that's what you're saying, I guess that's fine. But to entertain them is to make sure that they don't have need. Make sure when you see a stranger, and you don't just ignore them, you just don't turn aside from them, but you make sure their needs are also met as God has met your needs. They can't see the love of God until they see these things in the life of the saints of God. And many people have never seen an exhibition of the love of God. And how great it would be if a stranger therefore received that kindness and that gift. But then he said this, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And there are many that can tell stories. You don't know for sure. You're unawares. But there's just been a couple times in my life, there's been little things that have pricked my heart and touched my heart. And I remember years ago, the old preacher man telling his wife, and she called him by name and said, how do you know that man wasn't an angel? And he simply said this. He said, sweetheart, angels don't smoke cigarettes. You know, angels, they comb their hair. Angels don't drink liquor. They don't have booze on their breath. But you're still good to men. You still do good to men. Angels don't use crack. They don't use meth, you know. And so you entertain them unawares, but you do good unto all men, especially those that be in the household of faith. You must do good to all men. But we see here, he's speaking of this brotherly kindness. He's speaking of entertaining strangers. And he says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Remember them. How do you remember them? You pray. You think of them and you pray for them and you consider your own self and you realize the blessing of God that you're not in bonds and you're not suffering adversity, you know, and you yourself are not being destroyed in your flesh as so many are. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And I want to say this, there's a lot of folks out there, they understand what that means. Your marriage bed is undefiled. Why? Because it's a holy place. When that seed of copulation has gone out, that man is no longer an obligation to go wash himself and wait and stay unclean until the evening. When that woman is in her time and she comes and she doesn't have to separate herself from her husband, she can just go and sleep right next to him and cuddle up next to him. And if there's problems physically in the bed and problems going on, there's no uncleanness. There's nothing unclean in the marriage bed. There's nothing unclean between married folk. My friend, their bed is undefiled. They can lay there every day, every night, regardless of what goes on, and love each other. And it doesn't have to be a physical relationship. They can just come and love each other and cherish each other and nurture each other and whisper to each other. And it's undefiled. And I thank God for that. It's honorable in all, marriage is. And the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And God, and you know, a lot of times, I've been accused so many times of being unclean or, you know, just being lewd or making comments. And, you know, it's pretty bad when you can't even talk about loving your wife and talking about having a physical relationship with your wife. And somebody thinks it's lewd or unclean or common when the Bible speaks much about it. He tells you here that bed's undefiled. And listen, I don't have a defiled bed. As somebody said one time, they made the statement, they said about, you know, well, a woman shouldn't wear that unless she looked like a, you know, a streetwalker. And I just made the comment back. I said, my wife has never looked like a streetwalker. It's not what a woman wears that makes her a streetwalker. Amen and amen. There is an appearance to a streetwalker. And my wife does not look like a streetwalker. My wife is my wife. She lays next to me in our marriage bed, and it's undefiled before God. And she lays there, and I find her beautiful. And I love my wife, and I thank God for my wife. And I find her beautiful. You know why? Because our marriage bed has never been defiled. And we've laid there through sorrows and hurts and through wants and desires and burnings and strife and division and all the things of life and all the affairs of life. And it's an honorable place. And I've made it an honorable place for her. And she's been an honorable woman. And I thank God for that. My wife has no appearance of a harlot. She doesn't have the ability to be a harlot. My wife doesn't have the ability to even appear to be a harlot. And I thank God for that. You know why? Because she's my wife. And she's been put under my mantle. And thank God I've protected my wife and I love my wife. And then somebody gets up there and says, you talk about your marriage like that's just unclean. You shouldn't talk about things like that. No wonder we got so many sodomites today. No wonder we got so many divorces today. No wonder we got so many perverse people in the church and fornicators and adulterers. And we got so many people watching pornography, all these little tiny little secrets. No, talk about it. Solomon talked about it. He gave you a whole book about it. The Word of God speaks about it. Paul closed this book with it. Tells you about it. Why? Let young people know the marriage bed is a wonderful thing. The marriage bed is ordained of God. That marriage bed, marriage is honorable. The bed is undefiled. But you know why God judges whoremongers and adulterers? Because their bed is always defiled. It is always unclean. It is always a filthy place. And therefore, my friend, they come together in marriage. They're so unclean. If it's not for the grace of God, if it's not for the goodness of God, so many would be defiled in sin. But God, in his mercy, God can take that which is unclean and make it clean again. God can take that which is unholy and make it holy. God can take that which has been defiled and he can make it new. And he took that woman with the issue of blood. You know what he did? He healed her. She no longer was unclean, no longer had an issue. And thank God for his mercy. Thank God he'll give you a new life. Thank God he can give you a godly spouse. Thank God I've known women who were vile in their lives, not boasting of it, but just spake of it, selling their body for drugs, selling themselves to men. And they've been so vile and so defiled and perverse. I've known men who were caught up in perversion beyond the norm, beyond the pale. It's sickening. You don't want to hear of these things. And I've watched God cleanse them. And I've watched God make them clean. And I've watched God straighten that path. And I've watched a home come together undefiled before God. And I've watched children rot of that membership. And I've watched children come out of that home. And a mom and a dad can lay there in an undefiled, clean marriage bed and bear those children and love those children and love each other. And then somebody comes along and talks about, you can't talk like that. It's dirty and it's unclean. I say, phooey on the whole bunch. I want to thank God my marriage bed's undefiled. When I come in into my wife, it's undefiled. When I snuggle up next to her at night, it's a clean thing. It's not a defiled thing. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter what day it is. Doesn't matter what cycle it is. It's a clean thing. You know why? We can lay there and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we can have understanding that God has put this marriage together. Not whoremongers. We're not adulterers. God's not going to judge us. And oh, I thank God for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this podcast bothers you, you ought to just forward it to 10 of your best friends. Let it bother them too. Amen and amen. I find out folks usually bothered by this. They got some serious marriage problems, got some serious issues, and God help you if you do. But a lot of folks got a lot of problems in their marriage bed, a lot of problems in their life, a lot of uncleanness in their homes and uncleanness in their lives. And a lot of husbands looking at filth and defiling their wives because they're looking at filth. And a lot of wife out there looking for another man and looking for something else besides their husband. It's filthy, it's unclean, it's wretched, it's vile, it's adultery is what it is. It's adultery, I said, and adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. But my friend, God can rectify that home. God can rectify that bed. God can make it clean in a holy place, in a passionate place, and God can rot children out of it. Thank God for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we got so far, got down to verse 4, and Lord, we'll be back here on Monday and begin again in verse 5.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home.